chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, hookah,
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Lips as sweet as candy, its taste is on my mind. Girl, you got me thirsty for another cup of wine. Got a bug from you, girl, but I don't need no cure. I just stay affecting if I can for sure. All the good love when we're all alone, keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. All the good love when we're all alone. Keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. I'm hooked on a feeling. You're in love with me. I said I'm hooked on a feeling.
That was Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Swede. That's off the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 from the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which is a favorite for the whole family with us. You're here on Kitchen Counterpoints. My name is Sean.
My name is Tuesday, Sean's mom.
And we talk about everything from comic books to the meaning of our existence. And today we're going to be kind of talking about a few subjects and just using the Guardians of the Galaxy album as our musical backdrop. I was going to jump in on our first time seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, and if you remember that, but you had mentioned the preview and the first time you had seen the preview.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first preview too much. Do you want to just kind of remind me?
Movie previews are considered their own art form, of course, but most of them, often they're just, you know, here's what this movie's about. Here's when it starts, you know, and you sort of ignore them, especially if they're not what you want. But this one, it's a little longer than most of them. I think it lasts up to 3 minutes. And you know, the scene where they're arrested?
Right.
So that's in the preview, but not exactly the same way it's in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And,
right.
And they do Hooked on a Feeling, but they do that like that ooga cha cha part longer. They extend that. And then that drum beat thing, I can't remember exactly. I just heard it.
Right.
It, you know, it goes through and it flashes through the scenes with that music. And the way they put the music with the images and the way they put it all together was brilliant. I watched it over and over. It was so good.
Yeah.
If you can find it on YouTube,
right,
you should watch it. It's really good.
Well, and I do remember now that you mentioned the arrest scene, because that's such a great way to open the movie and introduce the different characters.
Yes.
The raccoon throughout that whole thing is just hilarious.
What a bunch of a-holes.
Right. And it's, you know, mixing it that way so that you don't see exactly what's happening really does, you know, add to it, because that's one of the big things with commercials, previews, rather.
They ruin them sometimes.
They give away everything. Often if it's a comedy, you see all the funniest parts in the preview.
Yeah.
And it makes sense on some level. They want to give you the best parts so that you're going to come see it, because there's just so much out there, so many different media forms, and we have to decide what we're going to go, you know, spend our time on. But it does give away too much. Sometimes if I see a preview that I do like, where I'm like, I'm going to watch this movie, I'll stop the preview. Because it's like, I don't want to give away what's going to happen. And too many of them do just give it away. Sticking in the sci-fi movie genre, the most recent previews for Star Trek have really gone in the other direction. They've had the one preview, I forget which of the new movies it was for. I think it was when they first revamped with the change, you know, they did the alternate reality time jump.
Yes.
And that preview, I remember it just showing the Enterprise leaving the dock. And then it cut,
right,
and it
just
said the year it was coming out Star Trek.
Yep.
And that was all you got for a year.
Well, there was another one, though. You know that scene when they're like hiding behind Saturn and they're back at Earth?
Right.
And they're coming up out of like a nebula cloud. It looks like the slow shot. That slow shot. Yeah, that was one, too. And I was just vibrating with excitement for a year because I could not wait to see it. It was so well done.
Right.
So, anyway.
And we didn't watch a lot of comic book movies when I was growing up. I was really into Superman and Batman, so I'm sure you suffered through some of those. but we didn't watch a lot of Marvel, you know, DC, like big movies.
They didn't really start when you were that young. I mean,
right. There were the Batman movies, but they weren't the big productions.
I remember I got you that book of DC Comics and how to draw comics. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, and that was really focused on the X-Men as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
But Star Trek, I mean, that's one that I know you have all sorts of stories from growing up, and that's kind of, I've always felt like there was that connection, because for me, I had you raising me, and you were already into Star Trek. And so that was a huge part of my upbringing.
Yeah.
And it was a huge part of your upbringing, but almost for the opposite, because you were the one in the family.
Yeah.
You were sneaking, you said?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Because they just wanted to watch Little House on the Prairie.
Yes, my sister and I would get into big fights because she wanted Little House on the Prairie. And the original Star Trek was in syndication by then. And what was the other one? The Waltons. Which I know those are both beloved shows, and I agree as an adult now looking back that they're good, but at the time I hated them. They were the most boring thing, and my sister Wendy and I would fight over it.
Right. Like, well, and yeah, I mean, if you are comparing the amount of action, you know, in those to Star Trek, you know, where there's really stuff going on the entire time and you're learning things.
It's more than that, though. I mean, even when I was 11 and 12, the sort of underlying philosophy of it was really came through to me. You know, it was intellectually stimulating to my 12-year-old brain.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if that's part of why, you know, it was different for me. You know, growing up with it, I didn't latch onto those. I latched onto it being a fun story.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the episodic, you know, they're doing a different thing, going to a new planet each episode.
Yeah.
I didn't really come to realize how much of a different social structure it was all based around until I got older into my teens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a little bit of a anti-capitalist socialist. And that really, you know, started to grow for me and my connection to the Star Trek much later.
Yeah. I've always wished I could live in a Star Trek universe.
Yeah. What about a Guardians of the Galaxy universe, do you think? No.
No, that one.
It's a very different type of like federation of aliens that's in there.
A lot more fantasies involved in those movies than Star Trek. Star Trek, I mean, there's no such thing as like fast and light travel, and there's all sorts of things. They break physics a lot. Don't get me started. They break a lot of physics, but it still feels possible.
Right. Yeah.
There's a new Star Trek series. We can talk about it later.
Okay. Yeah. We can jump into that after this break. We're going to have Go All the Way by the Raspberries.
We'll be right back.
All right. That last song was Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum. Before that, we had Go All the Way by Raspberries. And this is just such an excellent album. It's so much fun. Is there anything about these songs that you particularly enjoy with it being kind of the era that's being focused on? Or is it just the way that they put it together with the movie that you think you connect to so much?
I think it's both. And I think Guardians of the Galaxy did something kind of unique in that they appealed to multiple generations, right? With the music, they appeal to my generation and my, you know, and Bill's generation, right? 70s music and the whole like Walkman thing. I mean, there was awful lot of little bits and pieces of that movie that were just really for us older people, right. You know, but it still had all of the elements it needed to, you know, the typical comic book demographic of 14 to 20 year old males.
Right. Yeah.
So,
Well, and that's kind of, you know, part of why we're here. So, you know, we're doing kitchen counterpoints and our show is just us talking about, you know, the different things that are important to us and our perspectives coming from two generations, mom and son, and our experiences with those. And a lot of my experiences with it have been led by your experiences with it. So these, you know, last episode we did talking about road trip music, and honestly a lot of these songs could have come up there as well.
Probably
a lot of these are things we listen to.
Yeah.
So do you remember when we watched Guardians of the Galaxy with Alice and Ash? Those are my nieces, my sister's kids.
Oh. Vaguely.
Vaguely.
We watched that movie all the time.
Right. Yeah. I think the first time I saw it, we watched it together, and I think it was already your second or third time watching
Probably.
It.
Probably.
I remember
we saw it the first time in the theater.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and when it first came out, I think this was one of those movies that you watched several times before it was out of theater.
Yeah.
There's only a few of those, but when you really like a movie, and this one was so great in theater.
Oh, it was. You had to see it in the big screen first.
Right.
To really, I feel bad for people who come to it late.
Yeah. Well, so there was one day that we were watching the kids. I think Steph and Jeff were gone somewhere. And so Alice and Ash, my nieces, your grandkids, we were watching them and we were over at their house and we wanted to put something on and we decided to put Guardians of the Galaxy on, but we actually put the second movie on, not the first movie.
Mm-hmm. And Baby Groot.
Right, with Baby Groot. I mean, it's a cute movie. They loved, you know, most of the scenes, but it opens up with, and I don't know these characters' names, I should, but the bad guy with the giant hammer is torturing one of his guards.
Thanos?
It's not Thanos, it's one of the guys that works for Thanos. One of his like general guys.
Okay. That's,
and he, it cuts, you know, you don't actually see the violent part, but, he smashes this guy with his hammer and then you see the blood trickling through.
That's in the first one.
That is in the first one.
And that's the blue guy.
Right.
Right. He's the bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first one.
Okay. So I remember watching this with them and they enjoyed the movie so much. And, you know, partway through they were singing with the songs and everything like that. And then at the end of the night, I had to take, you know, Alice to bed to give her a story. And I had to explain to her that comic books are not the same world that we live in.
Yeah.
And I kind of brought up some examples of characters that she's seen get hurt or that should have died. You know, they fall off a cliff or something in a movie and then they're totally fine. And just to reassure her that
she doesn't,
you know,
like
these
scary things.
Characters are fine. Everybody's okay. You know, even if somebody gets smashed in a movie, it's Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a memory I always think of with this movie. And for her, it was kind of a lot, but she also still enjoyed, you know, the fun parts of it. And that is kind of a fun thing that Marvel does. You know, it's got probably more violence than it really needs.
Yeah, of course it does.
But it does do it in a fun way where you almost believe that in this universe, people can get whacked around by the Hulk or, you know, all these different things yeah. and still have
like
bones
the
in their body. Yeah.
You know, a new version of Wile E. Coyote.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you like any of the other Marvel movies, or is it really just the Guardians of the Galaxy series that has that fun
no,
component that you like?
I like the others. They got kind of old,
yeah.
you know, but the first Iron Man is a favorite.
Bill,
and I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
And trying to think. Yeah. They just kind of got old.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Robert Downey Jr. is definitely such a great center man.
Yeah, he is.
And you can tell, I mean, there's a lot going on media wise
yeah.
that's out there, but I feel like you can even tell from watching
the
movies that
yeah.
he's in charge. And when he starts to lose that,
yeah.
he kind of loses interest.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not the main character in this uh-huh. anymore. People are watching, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Captain America.
Oh. Wakanda. Black Panther. That is one of my favorites. And I could talk about that one all day. I forgot about that one.
Do you like the aspects of that have kind of that Star Trek-y, you know, futuristic
right,
establishment?
Yeah, yeah.
But even though it's futuristic
right.
and
it's
very open, it's traditional
yeah.
and it's here on Earth. It's
right,
in the modern
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
It's just hiding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that really drew me to it too was, excuse me, was the sister, and I wish I could remember her name. I've only seen it a few times.
Right.
It makes me really sad because he died.
Yeah.
The actor.
Right.
But she's a material scientist. That
yeah.
all that stuff is material science, and I'm a material scientist, so I mean, I even made a little like, gave me an idea for Discovery Days, and I did this whole like superhero material scientist theme
okay.
with little badges I gave away, and so it was so cool,
right?
But yeah, it was just so great because it was a girl doing this like really advanced science,
right?
And
she's the one that makes his suits,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
And while a lot of the technology is borderline preposterous, right? But it's still not fantasy. And there were still a lot of things that she did in that movie that are the basis for talking about specific things in material science, like nanotechnology and some of these other materials manipulation stuff that she does. I was so excited by that. I was just like, a material scientist had to be involved in that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And do you think that there's any chance that there's a society hiding in the world that we're in today?
No.
No?
I wish. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Do you think that that's because you don't believe that the technology could advance that far
no.
in a small scale? Or?
No, I don't think that. I think we're too... Have you seen pictures of the way Earth just outside looks?
Yeah.
Right? In real time, you can see all the satellites and all the debris and stuff up there.
Right.
And it's a cloud surrounding the Earth. And there's no little part of Earth anywhere on the planet that isn't looked at. So.
Right. And we're definitely looking. You can go on Google Earth then
right.
for free.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of stuff.
You know, yeah.
Really crazy stuff.
Archaeology by Google Earth is a thing.
Right. There are certain areas, though, that people point to. You know, I mean, there's the Amazon, where we continue to find Mayan ruins
oh, yeah,
and things like that, that we continue to challenge the anthropological theories of how long people have been in South America and North
right,
America.
Yeah.
That keeps getting pushed back. I think, you know, when I was in school just 15 years ago, it was, 12,000
not even that big
years
yeah I
and
think about 12 and then
yeah,
it went to 14 and then I think
18,
it's around 30 now.
It's in the high 20s
yeah.
or in the mid to high 20s
yeah.
Because of some of the new things that they've found down there in South America
yeah.
but also in like the Texas area
right
the Gulf area,
the Mississippi Valley
right
people yeah
And a lot of what I have seen is that these cultures, you know, they come together, they get really big, and in some cases, there's evidence that they made a conscious decision to kind of break away from that and go back to being more tribal. And so you could have an advanced society.
You're going to start a conspiracy theory, Sean.
Oh, they're all there.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you could start a conspiracy theory these days. They're all started. It's just, you know, which ones you have the most fun with. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what it is for me is, you know, some of these are just not fun. I don't find Flat Earth to be that fun, but I think
it's fun
that,
for about 3 minutes while you laugh at them.
but I do find it fun to talk about aliens in any aspect. There's a new study that came out talking about how most of what we perceive as being aliens may be super terrestrials, which are, you know,
interdimensional creatures.
Interdimensional
yes.
creatures or things that have lived here for the history of human life, but have decided to stay out of it yeah. and stay underground or have some kind of camouflage technology mm-hmm. in some way.
Yeah, but I went through an alien phase. I read a whole bunch of books about it.
Are there some that you find more fun and not frustrating
aliens.
To...
I love aliens. I don't believe that we've been visited by aliens. There's too much. There's just... There's so many things. That's a different talk. that's a whole nother talk. But yeah. Some people think that. The French investigator, I forget his name. If you want to talk about it next time, I'll bring that information. But he, in the end, like his third or fourth book, his final conclusion was that we were sharing Earth with a malevolent other.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where he ended up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem like, you know, people are going more towards that from the benevolent
benevolent beings. They're
right.
Not,
I guess there's always a mix, you know, they're in Greek, Roman mythology, they're not entirely benevolent or entirely malevolent. You know, they're beings that created people and they're kind of terrible to people sometimes, but they
and
also protect terrible to each other.
Protect
they also protect humans from titans, you know, or we got fire from the gods, you know, and all those things. So yeah. I guess it is usually a mix. Christianity definitely hones in on the benevolent being.
And the malevolent, concept. Though.
I mean, Old Testament God definitely, you know,
yeah.
didn't
but I
mess
mean,
around.
Yeah.
but the alien topic, I just have a lot of fun with it because I think that there are so many different aspects to explore. And the movies that we watch, you know, just give us a way to dip into it in a fun way.
Yeah, that's true. You were kind of raised on the whole concept that aliens are real, I guess.
Right.
Indirectly.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Star Trek, but also X-Files. Mm-hmm. We watched so much X-Files.
I know.
I feel like every time we went on a road trip, we would end up at, you know, some hotel if we weren't camping. And every single summer, there was an X-Files marathon going on.
I know.
And I would just
watch it. It's like the only thing on TV.
Right, yeah. it's wild that just went on year after year. It was the X-Files marathons. Great. Well, so I think we will continue talking about some comic books, superheroes, things like that. First, let's listen to a little bit more music. I've got Moon Age Dream by David Bowie.
I'm a mama, papa, coming for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and rolling bitch for you. Keep your mouth shut. Just squawking like a big monkey bird. And I'm busting up a brain for the world. Yeah.
That last song was I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. Before that, we did Moon Age Daydream by David Bowie. And I just wanted to talk a bit about comic books generally and, you know, the superheroes that we enjoy. I grew up with a lot of Batman, Superman. Those were kind of my big two. Batman for the dark times and Superman for the light.
And then The Tick.
Oh, The Tick. Yeah,
and
that's
the fly.
Great. Right. Well, yeah, so let's do The Tick first, because the fly will get us into all sorts of other conversations. Uh-huh. But The Tick, that one's excellent, because is all of the fun and none of the serious, really.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, The Tick was a limited series, I guess. I don't know if it was planned that way, but
it was only a few episodes, yeah.
Right.
Like eight to ten.
Eight to ten episodes. And it was essentially a spoof.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had Batman-well instead of Batman, who was the womanizing superhero.
With the ears.
Right, with giant bat ears. And they had...
I wish I could remember the Tick's name, the actor.
Right, yeah, I know he's...
He's so good. He's in so many good things. I was really surprised to see him because he played in that movie, The Dish, which
Oh, really?
Is, again, a whole nother conversation. But anyway...
Yeah, that's one of your favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays the American.
Oh, okay.
So, I can't remember his name. But anyway.
And then, you know, the main character is he's a moth, right?
He's a tick.
No, so there's the tick, but then there's the nerdy guy.
He wants to be a moth.
Right.
But that's his persona.
That's his thing, yeah. Right.
I don't remember him ever having any
skills or powers.
The Tick is really the only one who has genuine, right?
Right. He has actual superpowers, and you're always kind of unsure about how real he is, or, you know, they play into that. There's an episode in the show where supposedly his wife finds him, and because they put out missing person posters, and somebody responds to it saying that she's his wife because he has no memory of who he is or his life before being the Tick. And then it turns out that she's, you know, a scam artist.
Yeah.
And he really is just this inexplicable superhero.
Yeah. It's funny. Bill and I tried to watch that again. And it's just not the same without a 10-year-old laughing hysterically on the ground. I'm serious. It was like... Oh, this was a lot funnier when Sean was watching it with us. So
right. Well, and it's one of those shows that it's definitely a lot funnier seeing it for the first time, too.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
You know, there's...
It's so preposterous.
Right. I think the first episode, it comes in and you hear the talkover, you know, the voiceover.
Right,
and it's your standard superhero voiceover. And so you really are expecting this standard superhero, you know, somebody's going to be... standing up on top of the building, you know, ready to save somebody and just looking stoic. And then it's, you know, the camera comes up and it's showing him standing at the top of a building, but he is talking. It's not a voiceover. It's him narrating what he's doing.
Oh, yeah,
doing.
He narrates everything he does.
Yeah. Throughout the whole show.
Doesn't it open up? Maybe that was a different episode where he's in the train station and he's like interacting with the coffee machine.
Oh, that is a funny scene. Is that the first? I thought it was at the gas station where he's like at a random gas station and he's just standing on the roof. But there's
that's possible too.
again, it's a limited series. Yeah. So there's just a few episodes, and those were very episodic as well.
Yeah,
kind of
silly,
you know, watch one silly thing happen and then the next episode, it didn't really matter.
Well, there
too
was
much.
An overarching bad guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember.
Right. He had some ridiculous name, and they end up finding him, and he's this old guy that's hooked up to a bunch of machines. He can't get out of his hospital bed. It's just so ridiculous. And yeah, I mean, those are fun. I guess we can jump into talking about the ant as well.
You mean the fly?
The fly was
the one you made up. I have it still. I saved it.
The floppy disk?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was looking for that recently.
Yeah. So you used PowerPoint.
Right.
Like you were a PowerPoint, you know, aficionado, and you created this comic strip.
Right. I made a few. I guess I forgot the fly because there was also the Wolfman, who I always got a lot of stuff for. A lot of people made fun of the wolf because he had bloodshot eyes. And that was one of my PowerPoint ones that I made. And then, yeah, the fly. And I think I made a version of Ant-Man too. I didn't know about Ant-Man when I made it, but I made like the ant and he was super strong. He didn't change size, so I guess it wasn't a total ripoff of Ant-Man. But yeah, PowerPoint was great. I feel like if I had all the tools that they have nowadays, I would have been...
Oh yeah, you would have been animating.
Right, yeah.
From the time you're 11.
So were there any comic book heroes that you grew up with? I mean, you had your sci-fi stuff to kind of as your escapism. Did you get into comics with Wonder Woman or any of those?
No, my dad liked Wonder Woman. I thought she was stupid. Honestly, I just really didn't enjoy it. But my dad loved her.
Yeah.
And so it was just an eye roll thing. My sister and I would tease him about it more than anything. And then, of course, there was Superman, and he was okay. But yeah, no, I was really more into the whole Star Trek universe and hard science fiction.
Right.
You know, Arthur Clarke and Isaac Asimov and that kind of stuff.
And growing up, you didn't have access to a lot of books that weren't Christian.
Everything I was supposed to read was Christian, yeah.
So you probably didn't have comic books in the house.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You didn't really either have comic books either.
Me?
Uh-huh.
I had a small collection.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I had a few.
You mostly got that big book I got you.
Right.
And the shows.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Batman, the old cartoon Batman TV show. And
but no, you know, comic books were of the devil.
Right.
So, who knows, maybe that's why I'm such an avid fan.
Right. We'll get into some more music and we'll just sign out towards the end. We ended up talking a lot more about aliens than I had planned, but that's always a good time. Let's listen to some Cherry Bomb.
Hello! was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you'd like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape. My lady, I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like piña colada.
That was Escape, the Piña Colada song by Rupert Holmes. Before that, we had Cherry Bomb by The Runaways. This is Kitchen Counterpoints with Sean and Tuesday. And today, we're just talking about science fiction generally with a backdrop of the Guardians of the Galaxy album, Volume 1. I don't know if we'll do Volume 2 in the future. I think Volume 1 has a lot more fun songs.
Yeah, and then there's Volume 3. And then there's also the Christmas episode, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Volume 3, I feel like that had a lot more of the just soundtracky, you know.
Yeah,
like,
a lot more of the traditional movie movie soundtrack. Yeah,
not necessarily a lot of 70s.
It was a lot more an
songs.
Emotional one too, because it goes back into Rocket's backstory, which is really sad.
Oh right, yeah, yeah. No, that's very emotional stuff there. Yeah, the Christmas one was fun too, but that's probably just Christmas music. I don't know. I'd have to go back and
check. I think it is mostly Christmas music.
Yeah,
but you know, all of these movies that have these, I mean, it calls to mind the Christmas special for Star Wars, which is notoriously one of the worst things that anyone has filmed and imposed on the general watching public.
I'm not sure if I've even seen it.
I have, unfortunately. Yeah.
Is it like in between the first trilogy?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It has Ewoks in it.
It has Ewoks.
So it was just so bad. And I had never actually seen it. And I was working with someone who thought it would be fun to watch it.
Right.
It was, it was painful. I wanted to leave so bad. And I didn't know how to leave and not be offensive.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was to watch 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Bad.
Yeah. Having that, you know, full length too.
Oh, it was bad.
The Guardians of the Galaxy is a pretty short one.
Oh yeah. It's only about 40 minutes or
right.
so.
Right. That's what a Christmas special mm-hmm. should be.
Yeah.
It's a TV show length,
yes.
You know, something you watch before opening gifts
right.
or, you know, at the end of the night when people just want to stay up to midnight to,
yeah.
you know, get to Christmas. You just throw that in there.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. So any other movies that you wanted to mention or anything about this movie that you wanted to get into before we cut out? I think we've got one more song to play play us off.
Just really quick, that song, the Pina Colada song.
Mm-hmm.
In the first movie, he, at the very beginning, he's this little boy and he's devastated, right? And then he's mostly, you see him again and he's like, you know, in this archaeological thing. And for most of the movie, he's pretty silly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's all tongue-in-cheek and funny. But when he sees that guard in the intake place with his music and his
right.
Walkman and the emotional, I mean, I think that was one of the best scenes in that movie about how you would make a character deeper.
Right.
Just as a writer, right? Looking at how the methodology that there and tying it to the song and to his history and his, you know, I mean, it is the pinnacle of the most serious moment in that movie.
Right.
And it's the Pina Colada song.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that was done on purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. The whole thing is very purposeful.
Yeah.
It reminds me, not in the type of movie, completely different, you know, format, but Watchmen. Have you seen Watchmen?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't like stuff like that.
Yeah. I might have to make you watch it the show, because it's the way that they pair
Isn't
the soundtrack.
Isn't it super, super violent?
It is very violent. You're not going to love it as much as Guardians of the Galaxy, but the soundtrack is incredible. And the way that they use the soundtrack in the movie to help tell the story is really well done.
Yeah.
And some of the songs are still from this era. So excellent. Yeah. I think that gives us something to, talk about on a future episode of Kitchen Counterpoints. My name is Sean.
This is Tuesday, Sean's mom.
And we're going to play it off with Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.